Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brandon Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
He just dumps it off for a first down. Throws it, fakes the spike. And it ends up touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley. The legend of Josh Rosen.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State.
It's Optional. Second hour rolls on here.
You gonna be all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Fox Sports Knoxville. What you taking some allergy meds?
Allergy meds, man. It's that time.
Yeah, I know.
We'll go ahead and warn you. Yeah. Most time when allergy season hits, I traditionally probably get sick one really good time. My allergies are bad. I'm the worst. The worst. Let's try to get ahead of that.
Yeah,
get ahead of it this year.
I feel you. TJ Moe going to join us here in just a second. We're going to talk a little bit about everything when it comes to SEC. I'm excited for that. Continuing to roll on here today, staff changes made at Tennessee. They've already been made, but Jeremy Pruitt talked about them today. I think the biggest one, Derek Ansley, is now the defensive coordinator and play caller. So, knew he'd get the DC spot, but didn't know about, hey, changing things up and he'd be calling the plays. So, Jeremy Pruitt is stepping aside on that matter, and Tennessee continues to roll on. So, I think it'll play out in a good way when it comes to what they're trying to do, and Jeremy's trying to give it up and go focus on everything else. And you've seen Saban do that a little bit
as
well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see how this plays out when it comes to spring practice and everything as well. You'll get your first glance at the orange and white game.
Like you say, the biggest thing will be too to see how it works out and if there's any hiccups, because you got to think Jeremy Pruitt will take it back really fast.
Let's go to the phone lines now. Our man from the state of Missouri joins us, TJ Moe. What's up, buddy? Happy Friday to you.
Trey, what's up, buddy? It is snowing again here in St. Louis.
Oh my God!
All that happens now. We have a lot of people preaching climate change or global warming or whatever. I don't know anything about that or science. Science was my worst subject in school, but I know it keeps snowing, and I'm not a fan. So I may be joining you boys sooner than later.
How's that keep happening, dude? What? Good Lord, have you got a stockpile of liquor at your house? Are you good for all this?
I don't even drink, so what am I supposed to do? I just do push-ups.
Either that or do some cartoons or some games, board games. I don't know. You got to find something to do, bro. Especially
it's
that terrible. Wi-Fi goes
and
out.
Like, for the amount of time that it snows here, for people to still have no idea how to drive in any amount of precipitation is unbelievable. I mean, it is a substantial hit on the expected IQ of Missourians.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, there were some hot temperatures this week coming from Columbia, Missouri, and they were – looked like Superman's red eyes were just pointed straight in Knoxville, kind of the best way I can put it. And as we kick things off, love your thoughts straight up on what, and I kind of didn't disagree with what he said. I kind of liked how he came out, you know, and was naming people and all that stuff. I don't know. It was kind of interesting to me. In one instance, I kind of liked it. In the other instance, it's like, okay, welcome to the SEC. Love your thoughts.
I think you nailed it. I think I love when coaches are forthright about what they're actually thinking, and Barry Odom typically is. I love that. It's really refreshing, in all honesty. But if you're Jeremy Pruitt, you're playing within the rules, right? And the welcome to the SEC would be when somebody screws you outside of the rules. That is like what happens here. When somebody's playing by the rules, that's not even really a welcome to the SEC. That's like a welcome to college football. And anybody who can read the, you know, the NCAA rules, while they don't make any sense, that's pretty much how it works here. So the issue that Barry Odom is running into is this. When you make an appeal, everything goes on hold, right? So the postseason ban goes on hold. If the softball team and the baseball team were to somehow make the postseason this year, they would get to play. It's no big deal.
Right.
And the recruiting sanctions were all on hold. But the one thing that didn't go on hold was the fact that the senior class can transfer immediately without any issue. And that's what he's pissed about. So what he's saying is there's a lack of precedent in this case, and there is a complete lack. There was a the phrase being used routinely here is a lack of, or there's an abuse of discretion. And he's saying, so because the NCAA screwed up completely, we are getting punished to the point of we may win this appeal, and what otherwise would have been a pretty cool 2019 with Kelly Bryant coming in and much of our team returning, we had high hopes and an easy schedule. Instead, half our senior class was poached because the NCAA made a stupid ruling to begin with. That's why he's pissed.
You think, okay. With baseball, you know, baseball affected, softball affected, all this stuff, and you see the way as well with the NCAA, and this is going to tie in. The NCAA is going to go back and look at how they deal with grad transfers. Seems like the NCAA is trying to do a lot of things in the retro right now. Do you think that the punishment towards Missouri will either get overturned or they'll just take back the bowl ban but keep the other instances? What's the feeling up there right now?
Well, I can tell you Jim Sterk, the Missouri AD, and Barry Odom both think it's going to be overturned.
Okay.
So, now, I'm sorry, overturned is not the proper phraseology. They both think it's going to be reduced to what should have been the proper punishment to begin with. Right. That's what they think is going to happen. Nobody's saying that they shouldn't have had some sanctions. There was cheating going on. Everybody recognized that. Missouri cooperated fully. The issue is there's no precedent for this type of punishment for what actually happened, especially when they were given. It was actually named in the report that they had exemplary cooperation. That's only happened a few times in the last decade. So Missouri cooperates over and above what is even expected to the point where they pointed out that that's exactly how you need to do it, and they were punished worse than many other schools that were in similar situations. I think the NCAA is very similar to our federal government. They have a lot of ideas and implement very few of them properly. That's mostly how it's done.
I mean, I get it. So I'd love the way that this thing transitions now to the players. So, I mean, okay, honestly, between me and you and everybody else listening out there, I just straight up kind of want your opinion on this. Do you think it's bad that coaches are calling these Missouri seniors and talking with them? And also, give folks a behind the scenes of actually what we're talking about. When Barry Odom is talking about coaches are calling his players or seniors and getting in touch with them and all that stuff, how does that happen? You know what I mean? How do they get the numbers and be able to do all this stuff? Just kind of give us a behind the scenes look a little bit.
Well, okay. Getting the numbers is the easiest thing on planet Earth. You could call your local rivals guy if he'll give you the numbers.
True.
Right? If you tell a guy anything you want, you know how the media works. Like some guys are willing to give up information for access. You know, you can get the numbers any which way you want. You could call high school coaches to get phone numbers. That stuff is pretty easy.
Right.
And, you know, the way it's set up here is, you don't actually have to ask for permission. So it's not like, you know how the Chiefs were trying to steal the Kentucky defensive coordinator? Well, they had to ask Kentucky first, and Kentucky said no. Eventually they said yes, and it's going to happen. But if they said no, it's like the idea is, well, you just can't go then. That's not how this is. They just put it in, hey, we're going to talk to these guys. There's no questioning that happens, and that's the end of it. I don't like the way it's set up. I actually had an interesting conversation with Peter Burns on Sirius XM SEC channel the other day. His contention is that if players go into the portal, they should be forced to transfer, right? And so, that takes us down a different road. The idea here is these players are not necessarily asking to be spoken to. None of them thus far have said that they want to transfer. But they have coaches like Jeremy Pruitt who are calling them like they're high school recruits, five-star kids, and they're calling them every single day. And it's not just Jeremy Pruitt. That's just the one that Barry Odom named.
Right.
I think there needs to be some sort of rule change that says, look, you got to – you don't have – like, if you enter the transfer portal, you don't have to leave. That's already true, right? Nick Saban – I don't know if you can hear that or not. Sorry, I'm in the car, and it is snowing.
No,
that's the windshield wipers. If you enter the transfer portal, that doesn't mean you have to transfer. That's already – right? It's like Nick Saban already talked a kid out of transferring just a couple weeks ago, and then he took himself out of the portal.
Yeah,
that
LSU had the same thing where the player came out. Yep.
Yes, exactly. So I think Missouri kids, at the very least, should have to say, okay, we're interested in the possibility of transferring before coaches can just go to town on them. And I think that's part of what is missing here. It shouldn't just be a free-for-all. And it's a unique case because it may not be decided for between 6 to 12 months, right?
Right.
So the kids are in a weird spot of not knowing if there's actually going to be a bowl ban. And if there's not a bowl ban, why would any of them want to transfer? It's going to be a good year.
I mean, I find it – look, behind the scenes, I find this thing interesting. So, because let's be straight and honest here. If me or you tried to contact an athlete on a team right now, we would be absolutely bashed by the SIDs at that university, and we get in trouble for it, might even have, like, temporary credentials yanked, all that good stuff. But you're telling me that players on a team are getting contacted while they're still a part of a university and a football program – and they're not in the transfer portal. They're being contacted by coaches all across the country. I get it. It's college football, okay? I understand it. But also, I think personally something like you said kind of needs to be set up here where you're not having 20 guys get blown up by coaches from every different you see where I'm going with this thing?
Oh, absolutely. The issue is the SID can do something against us. They can't do anything against these schools because the NCAA – actually recommended that these kids could transfer.
True.
Right? It's like Dave Roberts, I think that's his name, Dave Roberts in the COI,
yep,
came out and said, I would recommend that the kids would be able to transfer immediately. So not only are they allowing it, they're recommending it for any of these kids, even though the appeal may actually work. So that's why Barry Odom's pissed right now. And I think he should be, right? If it's the improper punishment to begin with,
yep,
and you are, in essence, penalized for no reason outside of Carol Cartwright being on the committee here and trying to push her agenda because she was on the committee with Condoleezza Rice. I mean, there's a serious conflict of interest here when you have one person in the room and when there, you know, it's a committee of four. So you got 25% of the people out there in that group trying to push really hard for something. It's easy to get done.
Let me ask you a question about the grad transfer rule right now. Justin Fields' attorney, Tom Maher, says his appeal to the NCAA for a waiver to play next season at Ohio State had nothing to do with racism or culture at Georgia. Okay, then here's the question. How are these guys getting eligible in 3 weeks when a year and a half ago it took a year to get eligible? It would take the NCAA 6 months to even talk about it. We're getting to a weird point right now. And look, I'm not going to act like it's not going to help a team that I cover here in town. You're not going to act like it wouldn't help a team that would cover Missouri or anybody in the SEC. But this is getting to a point where it's getting a little funny because if Tate Martell somehow gets eligible in Miami over the next, like, 2 to 3 weeks, I'm going to flip a gasket. Like, what is happening right now, TJ, when it comes to this market?
So it depends on your view of what should be allowed in the first place.
Yeah.
So What is happening is what a lot of people think should be allowed in the first place, and so they don't have any issue with the rule whether it's being applied properly or not.
Right.
I think a lot of people are coming to the place where they're saying, okay, Justin Fields didn't have to prove a hardship. Well, okay, who cares? I wanted him to be able to transfer anyway. That's where a lot of people are coming from. That's where I'm coming from, to be honest with you. I think one of the ideas, not an original idea for me, but it's the one that I like the most. Why can't players all transfer one time without penalty?
That's
meaning,
true.
Why should you be punished for your college career is either going to be completely wrecked altogether, or you're going to get punished for an entire year because you made a bad decision coming out of high school without having all of the pertinent information, meaning you didn't know who else was coming in the recruiting class, you kind of knew the coaches, but you didn't know how it would be on a day-to-day basis, and you pledged your 4 years, and then you're like, I screwed up. I got to go. So, okay, the penalty for that bad decision as a 17-year-old is that you get to, of your 4 years of eligibility, now you get to miss one. That's pretty silly to me. So So I like that Justin Fields didn't have to prove a hardship. You know, I figured he was going to use the baseball player incident, you know, where the guy used the N-word or whatever.
Right.
But if he didn't have to, great. But I understand that people are trying to get the rule to be applied properly because it's not being applied properly. The rule now is basically that, yes, you can transfer, and they're going to be a little more lenient. You know, they changed the rules last April. It added that academic element to it. It prohibited the original schools from shooting down the waiver.
Right.
And that the reason for the transfer had to be out of the student-athlete's control. Well, this wasn't out of Justin Fields' control. So it's not being applied properly, and people are upset about that. But again, like, what does the NCAA do correctly? And certainly the first time, but almost ever, right? Eventually they don't do things right, and then they just change the rules so it looks like they're doing it right.
Well, they're not making much sense nowadays. Hey, before we go, there's SEC hoops this year, man, and it's been crazy. You know, you've got teams like Ole Miss playing good, LSU, Kentucky and Tennessee kind of trying to separate themselves along with LSU and potentially Ole Miss and other teams trying to get these double byes. But big game in Lexington this weekend between Tennessee and Kentucky. Just kind of your overall thoughts on that. Let me ask you something. Since Missouri is still, you know, I call it new. You know, 6-7 years SEC. You know what I mean? It's not particularly new, but I'd love opinion from somebody kind of not in this particular region. Do you think it's weird still? And do you think folks think it's weird that Tennessee has that number one besides their name in the country? Do you think it's hard for people to fathom or even actually have, you know, a nice take on why they should be number one just because maybe it's so awkward?
Yeah, that's a good question. Tennessee is known as a football school. You guys all know that nationally. Right. However, I wonder if it plays in that they haven't really been a very good football school for going on 15, 20 years here. They've just been okay. And the basketball team popping up, like if you have an expectation, that's why Kentucky football was such a surprise this year, because Kentucky basketball is so good and they're a basketball school, and you're like, what in the hell is going on with Benny Snell here? And they get to a place where they're a top 15, 20 team. That's a little more weird when it's happening simultaneously. Tennessee, if you've watched them at all, it should be no surprise to you. Like, I watched them last year, and I was like, holy hell, Schofield is good.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, it's not a difficult thing to see. And it's similar to, you know, these guys are a little bit older, and a lot of them stuck around. You remember Wisconsin a few years ago with Sam Decker and all those guys? And they, like, it's kind of similar to that. Like, are you really surprised when Wisconsin pops up every few years, and they've got a little bit older team, and they play fundamental basketball and they have a couple stars? Not really. That's kind of who Wisconsin is. So when another team can duplicate that, which is what I think Tennessee has done this year, it shouldn't be any surprise. I've told you this going on, 2 months now?
Yep.
I think Tennessee should be tied with maybe Duke. You have your Gonzaga and whoever else up there. But as the odds-on favorite to win the tournament, they are that deep. I mean, they've dealt with injuries this whole year, and they've lost one game. You know, Schofield slumps for the last month until he finally came out of it, and they're still there. I think Tennessee is as good as any program out there. They may not win it. I mean, hell, they may not even win the conference. They still got to play Kentucky twice, and you got to play LSU.
Right.
But the way they're playing right now and what they've shown this year, I would put Tennessee up against anybody. And like I said, if you are a fan of this team, you should have recognized it early that you don't want to miss a game, because this is going to be a fun ride.
It has been. The SEC has just been as wild, and it's going to continue along that track. TJ, man, I appreciate you joining us, buddy. A lot of questions that were answered on my end, and I especially wanted your thoughts on them, buddy. Tell everybody where they can follow you and your fantastic show. Not just cover Missouri, but you're covering the whole country.
Yeah, I try to. I'm at TJMo28 on Twitter. YouTube channel is where I do a lot of the interviews and things. In fact, I need to have you on to do an interview at some point soon, talking about, like, Tennessee hates when Missouri tries to say there's a rivalry brewing, because I think Tennessee is just such more established in the SEC,
right,
and more established certainly on the football field than Missouri. But, you know, a rivalry doesn't always have to be two equal partners. I don't think anybody in Missouri would look and say, you know, historically, I think we're right there with Tennessee on the football field. Nobody would say that, but I think our first time we ever played as a member of the SEC, we went to four overtimes. You know, it's like you pick a fight with the women's basketball team on their court. It's getting to a place where I don't think our schools like each other too much.
Well,
and that would be a fun discussion.
I agree. I mean, a lot of people didn't want to look at Vanderbilt as a rivalry, but they beat Tennessee 3 out of the last 5 times, whatever it is. So, I mean, hey, you know, you have to roll with whatever you have. And I,
yeah.
You know, it is what it is. So that It's fantastic. I look forward to it, buddy. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Be careful, man, and we'll have you on next week, bud.
All right, boys, if it snows anymore, I'm moving down there, so we'll just start a show together.
All right, buddy, I got an extra room. Thank you, DJ. DJ Moe joins us. Fantastic interview with him. I love having him on because he gives so much background as a former player.
Oh, yeah, great stuff.
Can talk about the transfer process, can talk about what's going on in the coaching world. Yeah. And he said, look, it's not just Tennessee. There's a bunch of coaches calling, and I wanted to get his opinion on that because it's an interesting time when you've got coaches all over the country. And
like what you were saying, too, like, you know, the fact that, you know, he covers a lot, too, and like to get a little outside perspective of – that was a good question because I do think that maybe not just in the SEC but nationally, a lot of people ain't – they're seeing Tennessee, and Tennessee's being recognized, but I don't think people are – they're taking it with a grain of salt as far as, are they really a number one basketball team? Yeah, I do believe that to be true.
We'll talk about that on the other side. We'll have some facts of foolishness today. We'll have some potentially news of the day. Maybe I can find some crazy stuff. We'll do that and more. We are rolling on today. It's Friday, getting ready for Kentucky versus Tennessee tomorrow. A lot of great college basketball on tomorrow. The AAF will be on tomorrow. NASCAR this weekend. We got a lot of stuff going on. It's Optional. We're on Fox Sports Knoxville. Optional Fox Sports Knoxville. Breaking news out of the NFL. Mark Garagos, I think he is the attorney for Colin Kaepernick, pretty sure. Here is the statement from him. For the past several months, counsel for Mr. Kaepernick and Mr. Reed, talking about Eric Reed here, he is part of the NFLPA, if I'm not mistaken, have engaged in ongoing dialogue with representatives of the NFL. As a result of those discussions, the parties have decided to resolve the pending grievances. The resolution of this matter is subject to a confidentiality agreement, so there will be no further comment by any party. Here's what just happened. Colin Kaepernick just got paid, and he was told to shut his mouth. The NFL shuts their mouth. Nobody talks about this anymore. It's done, and they try to move on. That's what they try to just make happen between Kaepernick and the NFL.
Straight cash, homie.
Hey, man, look. You
straight
just,
cash.
If you go away and just be quiet and please stop talking.
Can you get everybody to stop, you know, protesting? You know, can we get back to – can we just pay you? I mean, like, but they paid him. So for anybody out there, and let's not kid ourselves that he got paid – some chump change.
Right.
Like, we don't know, so there's going to be a lot of speculation here with what I'm saying, but the NFL, if they have reached the agreement, they paid him, and they paid him, you know, pretty good amount of money. Some old, good old hush money. Good old hush money. Good old go-away money.
The NFLPA has released a statement now.
Ooh.
Today we were informed by the NFL the settlement of the Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed collusion cases. We are not privy to the details of the settlement, bullcrap, but support the decision by the players and their counsel. We continuously supported Colin and Eric from the start of their protest, participated with their lawyers throughout their legal proceedings, and were prepared to participate in the upcoming trial in pursuit of both truth and justice for what we believe the NFL and its clubs did to them. We are glad that Eric has earned a job and a new contract, and we continue to hope that Colin gets his opportunity as well. I'm going to call. They weren't going to trial. They were going to settle this damn thing with an arbitrator, mediator, get this thing worked out, pay the man his money, and they were not going to trial. Do you know what could have came out, and I still think it comes out probably in a couple months or a year, whatever, through the depositions of all these team owners and players involved in this, the depositions and the text messages, all this, everything they got to subpoena, oh, my God. the craziness that would have came out of this.
Yes. See, that's the thing why they didn't want to go to trial. Because, like you said, that all the like the dialogue, everything would have to come out what's being said behind closed doors. If you start subpoenaing the owners and GMs, you know, Goodell. Like, come on, dude.
A lot of people are texting me and saying, wasn't that the whole goal of this publicity stunt from the beginning? For what? Jesus, LOL, what a joke.
What was the goal?
I don't know. They think the goal was to get paid the whole time. They were giving him – look, Denver offered him what? Under $12 million a couple years ago when he was guaranteed like what?
20 or something like that.
Something like that.
It was like 20.
He was guaranteed that.
He wasn't going to take –
That was before he took a knee.
Yeah, he wasn't going to take $12 million whenever he had $20 million guaranteed from the 49ers still out there.
Yeah, I mean, what
– I think that – well, people are going to do this. And this is what people are going to do. It's kind of moving the goalposts. Well, I know when he said that he was going to sue the NFL and Eric Reed as well, everybody, and I mean everybody close to around me around here that I know that was talking about it, said, oh, he'll never win anything against the NFL. He'll never win anything. I'm talking about a host in this studio said that. And I'm just saying, like, they didn't want to go to trial. Somebody got something. They did win grievances.
Craig Galtera, great writer.
Uh-huh.
He tweets this, and I'm pretty – okay. Whatever you think of the motivations of the parties or the strength of the cases, the fact that Kaepernick agreed to a non-disclosure agreement likely means he was given a massive amount of money,
yep.
And the NFL is not typically in the business of settling quietly for massive amounts of money.
I assume it was a large amount of money if you sign an NDA. I assume if it was like $4 or $5 million, what do you care about keeping that hush?
Duke could go write a book and make $4 million in the next 2 months off his book.
I think it was a lot because I don't know if you saw where he, I guess the Alliance League had reached out to him or maybe his people reached out to them, but he wanted upwards of over $20 million to play there. But they wouldn't be able to do that because their max base salary is like $250 or something.
Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports has learned the QB had withdrawn his name from the collusion complaint against the NFL. Sources previously said Kaepernick would only withdraw if a lucrative settlement was agreed, was secured. Hey, folks, I don't know if I want to get it. He was not trying to get money when he first started doing this, okay? But when he says, okay, it seems like the NFL is kind of screwing me here, okay, well, what do? You file a lawsuit. You have depositions. You figure out what in God's name is going on. You figure out who's lying, who's not lying. And then you know what? If he gets paid at the end, well, okay, he got paid at the end. Is what it is. Don't tell me that the NFL that the NFL didn't care and weren't trying to do so. I think the first time he ever – and look, I'm not saying I'm for it. I'm not saying I'm against it. But I am saying everybody has their right to do whatever they want to do in this world when it comes to free speech. And a lot of people say he was just wanting to get attention. Well, he got attention. And it looks like he got attention for the cause and what his mom was. So I don't know what to tell you. Everybody can be pissed off all they want, but my man just got paid.
Going straight to the bank, though, ain't he?
Right. He doesn't care. My man just got paid. So, you know,
the NFL could have you know, dodged all this had somebody just picked him up and they wouldn't have had to pay money. You can also think about it like that. Somebody could just sign him because he's worth top 15 quarterback in the league still.
I'd like to add this on the way out. The NFL also settled the class action lawsuit for the concussions as well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, tell me the NFL's not trying to get this stuff out there. They're just trying to figure out how much money it's going to take to prevent it from getting to the news. Let's take a break. Get me out. It's optional. We back. We rolling on this Friday. I don't know. A lot of people want to blow up my DMs right now as we talk about Kaepernick and probably
first,
the biggest news of the day.
First thing I do when I hear Kaepernick, I'm going to go check out what that guy in Nashville is saying. I'm sure he's either walking back or he's just trying to torpedo Cap right now. I'm talking about Clay Travis. It's always funny to me. What's Clay going to say?
What did he say?
No, I don't know. I haven't looked yet.
No, like
I'm
what?
I'm just sure he's just always been on the other opposite side of Kaepernick.
That's how he's going to make his money.
Well, yeah. I kind of will see. But, like, a lot of people, like, what you're saying, that's what me and John were talking about, John Reed, during the break. Most people, the detractors are going to say, and you're already seeing this, what you were talking about. They're going to say it wasn't about the cause. It was about the money. But how long was it about the cause? And nobody – it was about the cause, and everybody said it wasn't about the cause. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's about the troops, but it's about the flag. But it wasn't anything about
now
that.
Now the man gets screwed over, and he wants to get paid, and now people are mad at him for getting paid.
And rightfully so, because he did lose wages. And then people can say, well, he had opportunities. I mean, I guess he had a couple out there, but not what he was worth. Like, and when you look at the talent in the NFL, he should be on an NFL roster. He legitimately should be a starting quarterback just because the talent's not there. The guy went to a Super Bowl.
Here's what's you know. Let me tell you something that's sad. And I haven't spoken out a lot about this, but I'm gonna say something. When we are paying millions of dollars to domestic abusers and people that hit women and people that are caught up in some dirty-ass business out there, and we still pay them millions of dollars to go run a football, but you can't pay the right amount in today's wage in the NFL for somebody that just spoke out. And I ain't saying I'm on the side. I ain't saying I'm not on the side. And I ain't saying I'm on the side of him taking a knee and all that. Let me tell you something, though. If you don't want to pay the wage that a person of that position and a player of that position should be making, but you want to go pay a running back that'll knock the living hell out of a woman, and then you'll accept him on the team, and then you're going to cheer for him in the stands, and then you're going to buy his jersey when he's beating up women, that's on you. I don't really give a hell what you think, because I already know where your mindset's at. You all about winning, and that's cool. There's nothing wrong with that, but don't come at me. Or don't be talking about one thing when you sit there and you don't mind cheering for a running back who gets a first down when he beat the living hell out of his girlfriend 2 or 3 weeks ago. Don't give me that. Don't come at me with that. I don't want to hear anything like that. That's a stupid-ass argument. It's dumb. It's dumb. You're making a fool out of yourself. I mean, people were excited when Kareem Hunt got hired, or when Tyreek Hill. You remember Tyreek Hill? You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Remember when he beat the living hell out of that? You remember Joe Mixon?
His pregnant girlfriend.
You remember when Joe Mixon knocked the living hell out of that woman? You remember that? But you gladly cheer for him, though, when he runs for that touchdown, won't you? But you're mad. You're mad when somebody either takes a knee, are you mad when somebody tries to speak out against things?
People don't. Hey, it's you go play
anything.
Football. You don't speak. You don't talk. You play football, boy. I mean, that's this kind of people want their athletes to be dumb and like they're not intelligent.
Right.
And to not stick up for what they feel is
some
right.
Some of these guys paid attention in class, okay? And some of these guys are just smart in general. But I'm so sick and tired. I am sick and tired. As somebody to host a show. Somebody that covers football, I am so sick and tired of hearing people bitch about what Colin Kaepernick did, but then your ass wants to get out there and you want to cheer on people that are sitting there beating up women or sitting there involved in some dirty-ass games or whatever they're trying to do on the outside of their life. You'll cheer for them. You don't care about them. You'll cheer for Joe Mixon. Oh, he's running a 50-yard touchdown. He's an awesome player. Let's buy his jersey. Oh, but you forgot when he absolutely knocked the living piss out of that woman, didn't you? You forgot about that. But you going to sit here and you can complain about somebody taking a knee and then somebody talking up about what he thinks is right in his heart? Take yourself down the road. I don't really want to hear you. You're acting stupid.
Tell him, Trey. Tell him, Trey.
I think it blows my mind. It blows my mind. You gonna sit out here and you're going to support domestic abusers and buy their gear and give them money for rights and all this stuff. But then you want to throw somebody to the curb for speaking his mind. Can you, y'all get on with that. Don't matter where
don't
you
work
stand.
Yourself up too much, Trey.
No, but I think a big thing is it don't matter what side of anything you stand on, okay? If you stand up for something, you're standing up for something that you believe is right. You can't let it get you mad that somebody's standing up for what they believe is right.
It's a beautiful thing about this country. We all are entitled to our own opinions.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can be mad, but then don't come back and do this and that. And that's one thing that bothers me. That does. That's the one thing that bothers me. We'll praise these players that are absolute pieces of crap off the field and the things they do. But then when somebody gets a little agitated, somebody wants to speak out, well, okay, ban him from the NFL. He ain't good for any team. We don't need him. He must not be a good football player now. He must suck. Oh, he spoke his mind? He must suck at football. There's no reason to bring him back on. This is the first time I've ever talked about this, Chance, on the radio, on any platform. I have kept it back. I didn't want to get caught up in it. I was just like, whatever. Okay, I'll have my own person, but now it's time. I get blown up by DM saying this is business.
I like it.
This is business.
I like it. People I like it, Mad Trey.
Yeah, I mean that stuff just pisses me off.
You know what though?
Yeah,
it's time.
It's time for Facts of Foolishness. Here we go. The facts of life and foolishness. Thank you, Jewel.
There you go.
A.K.A. Sarah McLachlan.
Well, you did it again.
Rip-off.
Sarah McLachlan, rip-off Jewel.
All right, hit me with it, buddy.
All right.
Give me some of that facts or foolishness.
Starting off today, the segment Facts or Foolish, we're going to talk about Tennessee football. Pruitt, Jeremy Pruitt relinquishes play calling duties. Is good for Tennessee. Facts or foolish?
I think it's good for right now. Let's him get more involved in the team. Let's him continue trying to get his ways both on offense and defense, handle the new hires that are coming in. I think Derek Ansley's good enough right now to be able to call defensive plays. So let's see what happens. I find it a fact right now. I think it's good.
Yeah, for me too, big fact. I tend to enjoy when a coach is not doing too much. I know I'm a big Florida State fan, obviously, and Jimbo handled offensive play calling. I think that's different, though. Like, yeah. I kind of want – if you're an offensive mind, I think that's okay for you to call. But, like, even though he's the defensive, like, he has to fully adapt to being a head coach. He's only in his second year as a head coach.
Agreed.
And that just takes a lot of weight off him, and I'm glad that he did decide to give up the play calling duties to somebody who's very much established, too. All right.
I'm interested to see how it plays out. Yep.
Next one. With the combined 16 national championships on staff now – yeah. Tennessee should compete for the SEC East by 2020 at the latest.
Agreed. Two more years? Agreed.
Big
yes.
fact.
Yes. Big fact for me.
Yeah, big fact for me, too. This is why you're paying these guys copious amounts of money. They have the experience. They're highly touted. You've got hired guns in the recruiting trail. Yeah, if you're not sniffing at the East title by 2020, Jerry Pruitt's going to be in trouble then. All right, next one. This comes off of comments from Dabo Swinney today. And I ask you, Zion Williamson would be an All-American college football player, fact or foolish? Dabo said he'd take him a defensive lineman, tight end, even might let him throw a little quarterback in there.
What was the name?
Zion.
Oh, he takes Zion. Oh,
yeah, Zion. I'm talking about Zion.
I'd take him in a heartbeat. Fact. Fact.
He would be an All-American?
End. Yeah, he'd be a defensive end. Yeah, fact.
Yeah, big fact for me. Zion is pretty athletic. If he was lined up on the defensive line, he'd be a nightmare for opposing players. I mean, just the height and the length. If he was a tight end, he'd have maybe over 1,500 yards receiving. Seriously, he'd be a nightmare in the red zone.
Awesome.
He'd probably have about 20 receiving touchdowns, just fades all day. You'd literally just throw it up, and he'd go get it every time.
Yeah.
So, big fact, if he were to play college football, he would be an All-American. All right, next up, NBA All-Star Weekend is the best of all professional sports. Fact or foolish?
Foolish.
What's better? You got to elaborate.
Oh, okay. All right. No, can I retract it?
Yeah.
I want to retract.
Okay.
I thought you said just like all-star game type.
No, weekend. Like weekend, the events, everything they do.
Weekend, give it to me. It's them. I think it's basketball, three-point, the skills competition, the dunk competition, the all-star games, the celebrity all-star game. Yeah. I think it's up a little bit more from Major League Baseball and just the home run derby type thing.
Yeah, I'm with you, too. I think that they do the best job of their mid-season break. I mean, MLB All-Star Game is better now that there's ramifications behind it. But NBA All-Star, they just have a lot going on, and it's still the best, in my opinion. I mean, the Pro Bowl, trash now.
Yeah.
NHL is a pretty good second, if not a good competing. All right, lastly, Colin Kaepernick beat the NFL today. Fact or foolish, did he beat the NFL when he at a macro level?
That's tough. I don't think I think the end game or the win for him would have been, I think, to play again in the NFL. I don't think he beat the NFL today. I think the NFL, I'm going to flip that on you, I think the NFL gave up their fight and didn't want to release everything they could have released. I don't think he won today, but he didn't lose. Somewhere in the middle. I think he just wanted to play football a couple years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's a fact, and okay, only because, you know, he made them come out of their pockets.
Agreed.
And
I don't.
Anytime you can do that for some of these owners, and especially the Shield as a whole,
and Eric Reed got paid with his new contract.
Yeah, to make 3-year extension to make them come out of their pockets. One.
Yeah.
Secondly, even though everything's not, it's an NDA, and we're not going to see like everything that was said.
Right.
They're admitting fault.
Yeah.
You know, some or not even admitting fault. The fault was deemed that they had some fault in this. So I like it. I never even thought that he'd get a dime. So, in a sense, I do think he beat them today because nobody thought that this would even go this far. But you are right. If he would have been put back on the field as a starting quarterback, that's essentially like beating them too.
Come back and win a playoff game and then shove it right back in the
face. Yeah. So, yeah, I'll say that he won today just on, you know, the fact that, you know, he got them out of their pockets. That's not easy to do.
Hey, real quick, before we go to break, I know we got to take one last one before the end of the hour here. Do you think now that the case with the NFL is done, do you think any team will come in and try to pick up Colin Kaepernick in any type of way? Or do you think he'll
going to be another one of my facts or foolish. Will he be a starting quarterback again now that it's
in
all
the over? XFL, AAF, or NFL?
I say, if anything, it'll be the AAF. But I kind of think now that he gets the money from, you know, from them, that probably not really a big of a deal for him to go back. He might write a book, like you say.
It's funny as we're going out. It's funny that all this news came out that he turned down he wanted $20 million to play in the AAF the day before the NFL and Colin Kaepernick reached a deal when it comes to a settlement and a non-disclosure agreement. I'm just throwing it out there. Remember, yesterday was blown up. Colin Kaepernick wanted $20 million to play in the AAF. What happened a day later? He agrees to money with the NFL. Optional Fox Sports Knoxville getting into a wildly discussion out there. Listen, want a big shout out to you guys. We appreciate y'all listening all week. Thank you so very much for the phone calls, the interactions, the tweets, the DMs. Even if you don't agree with me, I appreciate you reaching out. You know what? It means you're listening. And if you don't agree with me, I really don't care. It's cool. We can have open discussions. So thank y'all. Hope y'all had a good week. Hope you're getting psyched up. The drive is going to take you home. The Overtime Boys are going to take care of you while you're at home. Russell, Bear, Brandon, Rick coming up next. Getting ready for a big-time game tomorrow night. Don't forget, College Game Day will be in Kentucky tomorrow. Supposedly, the Tennessee players filmed a dance, kind of a dance routine type deal with ESPN this week. And they're going to show it tomorrow on the college. I don't know if it's going to be on game day or tomorrow night during the broadcast. But I suspect we see it. I suspect we see the Volunteer boys putting on some dance moves tomorrow.
I like it.
Not even talking about on the court yet.
I like it. Should be a fun weekend. Those guys can dance.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited for some big-time basketball. I'm excited. I know a lot of folks out there don't like NASCAR, but I am excited because my cousin starts the season off. And your family, and we get excited about that. So Bubba will be racing Sunday, Daytona 500. It's always fun. Look, if you don't tune into another race during the whole year, you at least know two races. You know Daytona and you know Talladega.
Yeah.
Two races
and
right
least,
there.
At least those are the good ones too.
Right. You'll probably see some wicked crashes tomorrow and you can tune in and enjoy it and whatever you want to do. But I'm excited about that Sunday, 2 o'clock on Fox. College basketball glory this weekend. The AAF will be playing this weekend. Should be interesting. I want to see the ratings from
My San Antonio. I forgot their name now.
Stallions.
That's right. Something like that.
San Antonio
Commanders. Commanders. That's my team. The San Antonio Commanders.
Yeah. So stoked.
I'll be
that.
Sitting back watching them all weekend.
Should be fun.
Yeah. In other news.
Yeah.
You know, an original, the first run copy.
What?
Of Mario Brothers.
Oh.
A little news of the day without the music. Get you out of here. Sealed first run copy of Super Mario Brothers sold for $100,000 and $150,000 becomes the highest priced video game.
$100,000?
Yes, highest priced video game ever via Heritage Auction.
What the hell did it have on it? Presidential snapshots and Kennedy files?
The previous mark was a mere $30,000 for another copy of Super Mario Brothers that sold in 2017. Yeah, it's a mint sealed copy of the first run. Super Mario Bros. Somebody bought that for $100,000. In other news, 21 Savage was released, like we talked about. He's got an ABC special, I believe, coming up this weekend.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. He said that he believes Ice targeted him. Jade returns to Mortal Kombat for Mortal Kombat lovers. Also, a little nostalgia for you. Nickelodeon is rebooting All That. You remember that?
Nickelodeon.
Keenan Thompson.
Oh, that was a good show.
It was.
Okay. That's returning?
It's returning with Keenan Thompson as, I think, the executive producer.
I can't wait. That's fun. Takes me back to the old days.
That's what I'm saying. Takes you back to the childhood days.
Yeah, so that'll be good. Look forward to it. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Don't forget, 8 o'clock, Tennessee, Kentucky tomorrow night. I'm sure you're not going
to
forget.
Also, don't forget, come out to Hops and Holler on Saturday. Hops and Hollers, we will be out there. Watch party. Come out. Hang out with us. Buy me a beer.
Absolutely.
I'll be there. I promise you, you guys come see me and you buy me a beer.
I'm getting on the road. Y'all have a safe weekend. Be good. Be blessed. Talk to y'all Monday. It's Optional. We on Fox Sports Knoxville.